chapter, I should say, book of James, if you want to go there and follow along with us this morning for a few minutes of time. And we ask that you pray for us, that God will just give us a word and his Holy Spirit that will help each and every one of us. And if we would have anyone in the midst today that is lost and undone, that you would examine your own heart. Bible teaches us that we have to examine our own lives, our own heart. Sometimes it's easier to look at somebody else's lives and find the faults, but we need to look within ourselves and acknowledge our faults and confess them to God and ask for his forgiveness, that we might be able to live the life that he wants us to live on this side of the river. Book of James, the second chapter. Go with me, if you would, down to verse 14, reading down through and including verse 19. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yet a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith with my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And stop reading there with verse 19. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Today I'd like to bring to you a message entitled, It Takes All Three. It takes all three. Here, Brother Ray, he is talking about you must believe, you must have faith, and you must have works. And you can't separate them. It takes all three in order for us to get the blessing, for us to get the healing, for us to get the salvation that we stand in need of. Today, we live in a time when so many folks are trying to divide the Word of God. Some folks want to take part of it, but they don't want to take the rest of it. Many of them are even trying to divide the Trinity of the Godhead, being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And again, I say, it takes all three. You can't have part of it. You've got to have the whole Trinity in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Even today, as we are in church, the building can't get the work done. It takes the preaching of God's word and conviction to fall in the midst of the house of God. We cannot separate one from the other. You could have the greatest building there is, but if you don't have the preaching of the gospel or the Holy Spirit to bring conviction, you have nothing. You could have the worst dilapidated building there is in town, but if you've got God's preaching and the Holy Spirit, you've got the most beautiful place that there is, because God is there. A lot of times people think that all you got to do is bring a message and people will receive the Lord. It still takes the church and it takes old time conviction. Can I preach to us today? None of us ever got saved without the convicting power of God's Spirit talking to our hearts and letting us know that we were lost and undone. Scripture teaches us before we can ever get saved, we must first get lost. Realize how lost we are. And it's only through the preaching of the Word of God that brings us to that knowledge of where we are with God. The body and the soul and the spirit, it takes all three. You cannot worship God. You can't have church. You can't even be yourself without all three. Your body and your soul and your spirit. Until death comes, you cannot separate them. And people say, we don't have a soul. Yes, we do. Every living thing, man, woman, boy, and girl has a soul that will live somewhere for eternity. The body's going back to the grave from which the dust from which it came from. But our soul is going to take a flight toward heaven when this life comes to an end. If we know Jesus in a free pardon of sin. Can I put this in on a Sunday morning? Not everybody is going to heaven. A lot of folks say we're all going. Not if you've not been born again. Because you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. I know it's a sad thought. I'd like to see everybody go. Most of all, God wants everybody to go. But not everybody is going. Only those that's been to the river and been baptized. And you say, does that mean the Ohio River or the Licking River? No, I'm talking about that river that flows out of the midst of the throne of God that gives us life eternal in heaven above. The scripture said that you must believe in one God. There is only one God. I know that the world is trying to divide it to where there are many gods, as it was when Paul was there on Mars Hill. And he began to look at all the different monuments, if you'll have it, where they had erected to all the different gods that they worship, and even had one to the unknown God, just to make sure that they didn't leave any out. Folks, I don't have many gods. I have one God. And his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is my Lord and my Savior. Many believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless my Father which sent me draw them. We know that God said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Many religions today want to worship God, but they don't want to worship Jesus. You can't get to God unless you go through Jesus Christ. He is the door to get to God. And you can't talk to God without talking to Jesus, because he is our intermediary between us and God. He's the one that takes the message, because you see, God can't look upon us because of our sin nature. But you know what Jesus does? He says, Father, this is one I bled and died for. This is our child of mine. And when he brings us before God, God will hear and answer our prayers as we stand in need of. Many believe in God and Jesus, but not in the gospel. How can you believe in God and Jesus and not believe in his book? Many say, I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and act like the devil. I've seen some bumper stickers, and I know we have different feelings about bumper stickers or window stickers, but I've seen some that are so true that talk about Christianity. See, I don't believe that you could be a Christian and believe everything about this world and throw out God's word. I still believe, as he says in the former verses that we did not read tonight or today, I still believe God's word is the truth. And if God says it's wrong, we better stay away from it. People say, but times have changed. The debate today that is going on is centered around abortion and the killing of babies in our country and around the world. I heard a staggering number last week that said since 1973 that there have been almost 80 million babies killed in this country. People say it's a woman's right. God says it is murder. It's wrong. And if God says it's wrong, you better take what God says. People say, I don't believe in having a monogamous relationship. God's word says man married woman. A woman. Amen. Mine's been with me for 41 years. And if time goes on, Brother Eli, I'll go back to Brother Gibson back there. He said when he died, he wanted to be cremated. And his wife said that when she died, she's going to be cremated. And she put in the same jar together. He says, no way. But once you're gone, you don't have a choice. She will have the last word. We live in a time that people want to say, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe in heaven and hell and the church, but I have a right to live my life how I want to. If it does not align with God's word, I declare by the authority of God that you are still lost and in your sins, and you need to be saved by the grace of God. There's no homosexuals going to heaven. Lloyd, you sometimes talk about how that preaching like this is going to get us in trouble one day, but this is the truth. There's no homosexuals or lesbians going to heaven unless they get saved. And many of them have sinned away their days of grace because he said the world would become more and more wicked every day. And folks, once you've gone so far that God that God says you send away your days of grace, he'll turn you over to a hardness of heart and a reprobate mind. And no matter how much you cry and how many church folk are gathered around your bedside, there is no hope for you. It's too late. People say, but I believe. Even the devils believe and tremble. But that doesn't mean they'll be in heaven. People say, I have faith, which is trusting in God's word and his promises. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That word substance in the Greek means confidence. I have confidence. I am trusting in God's word and his promises, and faith is the confidence that I have that God can do all things. How many of you are confident today God can do everything? Amen. Amen? Has anybody else received a miracle from God to where you thought it was impossible, but God came in and performed the work because you believed upon him, you had faith in him, and you performed the work that God gave you to do? See, we got work to do. People say, Roger, be careful. It's a Baptist church on a Sunday morning. You start telling folks that it's by works, people will lose the message. I said it takes all three this morning. He said that Scripture says that faith will help you to see things that are not as though they were. How many of you today have a vision and you're trusting in God, you're believing in God for those things that have not happened yet, but you're seeing them as though they were? People say, what kind of visions are you talking about? Seeing my lost loved ones walk down an aisle and get right with the Lord. Seeing those that are away from the Lord. Church, this country needs a revival that will stir people's hearts. That people, you know why we can't have revivals anymore? Because people don't want to be committed to God and change their lifestyle. I've got too much to do to worry about changing my lifestyle and going to church for a series of meetings. Revival is not a series of meetings. Revival starts in our hearts to where we say, Lord, help me to get back to where I used to be, close to you, that I might be able to worship you in such a way that the world might think I've lost my mind. But praise the name of Jesus. I'm stepping out believing. I have faith. And now it's up to us to perform the work that God has called us to do. He said that we have to believe, we have to have faith, and we have to have works. You know what works is? Actions, not words. How many of us have said, I'd like to, and then you finish that sentence, but we've never got off our backside to do it? You say, Roger, you're being blunt on a Sunday morning. It's true. How many of you got projects that you've wanted to do and you haven't even started them yet? And you say, now you're getting personal. The gospel is personal. We cannot sit back. I thought about this while they were singing their songs. Many of y'all know that I'm not doing a garden this year. I'm not raising a garden this year. But you know what it would be like? It would be like me looking to that crop of ground or that piece of ground and not doing anything at all and saying, I believe those vegetables will grow. I have faith God can make them grow. But me never doing the work to put the seeds in the ground. Brother Wayne, nothing will happen. You can sit there and hope and pray all you want to, but nothing's going to pop up but weeds, thorns, and thistles because you didn't do the work. And I'll put this in for good measure before I move on. That's where our society has come to today. Everybody wants something, but they don't want to do nothing for it. Amen. They want to sit back and say, somebody take care of me. Somebody provide for me. You know what the Bible says? A man that won't work won't eat. This is true. In fact, the scripture goes on to say this about us that have know the Lord. It says a man that won't provide for his own household is worse than an infidel and has already denied the faith. People say, why do you work so much? Scripture says we're supposed to work. How many of you men know we're supposed to work? I know we're living in a different era of time, but I still believe what the word says, and that is man is the head of the household and he is to provide for his own household. And all you women, don't get the wrong idea that you can quit tomorrow because you help make the bills. I heard somebody say, whoa. It's true, is it not? Let me move on. Verses 14 through 17 say it like this. What good is it to believe and have faith but have not the works? The scripture says in 14 through 17, what doth the man, the prophet, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of them come unto you and you say, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? That's like us saying, in fact, what he said was, they was hungry and they was naked. And he had faith that if you would just go on, God will provide for you. You know, sometimes God asks us to do the work. Some of y'all remember many months ago we brought a message, and that text of that message was, God will do his part if we do ours. We've got a part to do. It's like the scripture where Jesus was talking about the man, the knock on the door, and his neighbor was in need because they had company that came. And he told them to go away because me and my wife and my kids were asleep. He wouldn't get up. What good does it do? They have a lot of words, just not a lot of action. See, in order to perform works, you have to want to. All my life, since we've been married 41 years, just to let you know, so Becky don't think I forgot. My whole desire has been to work to provide for my family. It wouldn't do much good for me to say, I hope a check comes in the mailbox, and not do anything, expecting a check, but not getting anything, because I hadn't done anything. But this is not where America's at today. And not just in the carnal sense, but even in our churches. People want to go to church. They don't want to do anything, but they want God to bless them. You say, Roger, you could preach all day, but you don't have to get on us. We all need it. Because we want to receive the blessings. We have faith God's going to bless us. Just don't ask me to get off my area of comfort. You see, many believe and have faith. Many believe and have works. They don't have the whole package. Some of y'all are thinking about people right now that you know that believe, and those that have faith, and those that don't have faith but they believe and have works. We got people that's trying to work their way into heaven. If you could work your way into heaven, Jesus died for no reason whatsoever. But it's not by works, lest any man should boast, but it's by faith in believing his word. Some have faith and works. Some have faith and believe. Many have faith. Many have works. Many have works and they believe. And many have works and faith, but they don't believe. You see, you say, Roger, all this is starting to run together. The whole message is you can't leave out one of them. If you believe it and you have faith, then you have to do your work. You say, what is God asking me to do? That's between you and God. The first time God spoke to me, the only thing he asked me to do was step out in faith, believing, and he would save my soul. He'll save yours today if you will believe upon his word and have faith that he is able to do that which he has said he would do for you and me. See, believing without faith is dead. Believing without faith and works is dead. You can't pick which one you want. This is not a multiple choice question. You have to have all three in order to get the victory. It takes all three. Look what it says in verse 21. It started at verse 21. Abraham, and I'll summarize it real quick. Abraham was told by God to take his only son, Isaac, and take him up, take some wood, which meant he had to take some fire with him, and to offer up his only son, Isaac. The Lord told him to do this. And Abraham could have said, Lord, I believe in you, and I believe that you are able to restore my son's life. But I'm just going to sit here in my tent and do nothing. God would not have been pleased with that, would he? How many of us would be reading about Abraham today if he'd said, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. And I'll go even further. If it was Roger Grammer that God was talking to, I'm afraid I'd have a problem. I'm not sure that I would have that much faith and belief and want to put it into works. Has God ever asked you to do something and you just did not want to do it? Like forgive somebody? Like pray for somebody? You say, why would you say pray for somebody? How many of you have had enemies? And God says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those that spitefully use you. Pray for all men, all women. But Abraham said, not only do I believe God, but I've got faith. And he took Isaac up to that hill, had the knife, had the wood, and was ready. You know, Isaac even asked him, Father, here's the wood and the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And look at the faith that Abraham had. He said, my son, don't you worry about it. My God will provide himself a sacrifice. And when he got up there because he followed God, what did he find stuck in the thicket? God provided because Abraham had faith and he believed God and he put it into action. See, many of us, we don't get what we ask God for because we don't put it into action. We become so dependent upon God that we say, Lord, you know what I need now. Provide it for me. And God is saying, you do your part. And I'll do mine. The second example that the scripture gives us later on in verse 25 is talking about Rahab. Rahab in the city of Jericho was a harlot. You say, you ought not mention that in a church. That's what the Bible called her. She was a harlot. But when the spies went down there, they made a promise to her and her family that if you'll protect us when we come down, if you'll put that little scarlet thread out the window, when we come back, we'll save you and your family. You know, she could have said, I believe you, I have faith, but I just don't know if I'm going to put this into action or not. She could have left Brother Wayne, her family, in their own houses. But instead of doing that, she believed them, she had faith, and she gathered the whole family together. Put them in her house, and when the trumpet sound on the seventh day, the seventh time, and the walls of Jericho fell, you know who was found safe? Rahab and her family. Amen. Today, you must believe, you must have faith, and you must have works in order for God to bless us. We have to follow his instructions, his words, and his bidding in our life. People say, I don't mind doing some of that, but I just don't know about that works. Let me close today with this thought. How many of you need a miracle in your life? I mean a miracle. Or you know of people that need a miracle. Amen? How many of us believe God can perform that miracle? How many of us have faith that God will perform that miracle? You say, but where's the works come in? The works come in that we go to God asking him that his will be done. If we truly need these, if we need God to move on all these circumstances, we need, you know what he said in his word? Is that we, if we have a need, come boldly before the throne of God, asking for whatever we stand in need of, and believe that God will give it to us. People say, I don't mind praying, but I don't know if God will do it. While Rob and Sharon get a song, let me reassure you. If God has put it upon your heart, God won't take you and give you false hope. If God is saying, I've heard your prayer, I've heard your cries, and I see your faith, now step out and receive me. The only thing that is lacking for you to receive it is to step out. Many of the ones that Jesus performed the miracles to, he said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And when they said yes, he said, receive it. And the miracle was performed in their life. Some, he said it like this. As the man that was there at the troubling of the water, he said, now take up your bed and follow me. That man, had he not taken up his bed, you say, I can't take up my bed. I'm lame. But you know, when the Lord said, be healed, when he spoke to him, I believe he felt the energy come into his legs, don't you? And he said, now take up your bed. That man could have got up and walked away and not took up his bed. And I believe he'd been right back in the situation where he was at before the Lord spoke to him. But because he followed God and took up his bed, God gave him the miracle. Not just a temporary, but a lifelong miracle that he stood in need of. What do you need today? Are you willing? You believe in him? You have faith? Do you have the works that it takes? Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. And Ray, many folks are trying to work their way into it. You can't get there. It takes believing, it takes faith, and it takes works. While we stand and they sing a verse of a song, this morning, why don't you take that step out and ask God for what you stand in need of? Do you believe upon him? Do you have faith this morning? Then put your faith into action. And let God heal you today. Let God save you this morning. Let him perform the miracle that you stand in need of. Come on today. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. But while God is speaking to you, step out. Yes. While they pause for just a minute, I believed way before I ever had faith and works. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. But you see, I never had the faith to step out by performing the works that he asked us to do. The Lord's not asking you to build something great in order for you to be saved. He's asking you to just step out and let him do the work in your life. For you that are needing a miracle, he's asking you to trust in him, have faith, and step out believing in the work that God can do in your life. People say, I don't mind going to church. I believe I have faith, but don't ask me to do any work. It's not us. It's God. God's the one that's asking. And church, can I get a witness on a Sunday morning? He will not ask you to do anything that you're not capable of doing. Not one thing. The moment that you follow him, you'll find strength beyond measure. I don't know how I made it from that back pew to the altar. All I know is I took that first step. See, that was my work. I had to do that. And then God did the rest of it. He'll do the same for you. While we sing one last verse, follow your heart today. Follow your heart, because God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. You know what you need to do. Just follow the Lord. Yes. Sing this chorus, church. Savior. Savior. Hear my humble cry. Yes. While on others thou art searching. Do not pass me by. Amen and amen. Brother Eli is coming. I know he's got a heavy heart. And we all should have a heavy heart for our people. Because you just imagine today, if one of our loved ones was to go out into eternity, folks, it would break our spirit. It would break our hearts. It would devastate us. Especially if they left here unprepared to meet God. What a sad thought. You say, but Roger, I believe in God. I have faith that God can save them. Then let's do the work that God is calling us to do. That they might get in before it is everlasting too late. Amen? We're going to pray with Brother Eli. You can join us in this prayer. You can fellowship one with another. Whatever it is that you want to do. But I want you to know this altar is still open. God is still dealing with you. The work that he's asking you to do is not beyond your capability and your understanding. People say, I just don't understand it. If God's speaking to you, don't try to figure it all out. Just trust God and let him do that work. Would you do that while we pray? If you get away from us, come back tonight at 6 o'clock and be with us this evening. And I want to say to the Gibsons that was with us this morning, it's good to have y'all with us, and come back and be with us anytime that you can. Church members will be looking for you tonight in the house of the Lord. Amen. So get you a good lunch and get you a nap if you need it. I said get you a nap if you need it. Because I think some may need a nap today. But you just follow the Lord. Would you do that? Let's fellowship and come back tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you today.